الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of recompense. As to what follows, ayah number 13 of Surah An-Nisa. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم تلك حدود الله ومن يطع الله ورسوله يدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وذلك الفوز العظيم ومن يعص الله ورسوله ويتعد حدوده يدخله نارا خالدا فيها وله عذاب مهين. Ayat 13, 14, the interpretation of the meaning in English is, these are the limits set by Allah or ordainments as regards to law of inheritance. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will be admitted to gardens under which rivers flow in paradise, and to abide therein, and that will be the great success. Ayah number 14, and whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and transgresses His limits, He will cast him into the fire to abide therein, and he shall have a disgraceful torment. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah says in his commentary on these two ayat, أي تلك التفاصيل التي ذكرها في المواريث حدود الله التي يجب الوقوف معها. عليكم السلام. He said these details which Allah mentioned and the ayah of the mawarith, of the inheritance, it represents the limits, the limitations which Allah Azza wa Jal has set. الَّذِي يَجِبُ الْوُقُوفُ مَعَهَا, the one which is, it's obligatory on us to stop at these limits, not to go beyond them, not to transgress. وَعَدَمْ مُجَاوَزَتِهَا وَلَا الْقُصُورِ عَنْهَا, nor do we transgress, nor do we fall short. These are the limits of Allah. Yani this is what Allah had laid down as a law. Then you stop right there where Allah Azza wa Jal wants. You neither go beyond that, nor do you fall short in fulfilling that. نعم. وفي ذلك دليل على أن الوصية للوارث منسوخة بتقديره تعالى أنصباء الوارثين. أنصباء الوارثين. Again, this ayah is dealing with the mawarith and something about نسخ المنسوخ الناسخ. Do you guys remember the English equivalence to this term? We've learned it before.
Abrogation.
Uh-huh.
Abrogation.
نسخ. Abrogation. النسخ. نسخ is abrogation. The noun. The concept of a rule being replaced with another rule is abrogation. What do we call النسخ? The one doing it. The ayah doing it. Abrogator. Hello? And what do we call the one? The object. Abrogated, mansukh. Just familiarize yourself with the terms. Nasakh, the concept of nasakh is abrogation. And nasikh, like al-fa'il, ala wazn al-fa'il, the doer of the action. Huh? Is the abrogator. Al-mansukh, ala wazn maf'ul, is the one which the act is happening to, abrogated. Ahsant ya Sheikh Yusuf. طيب ثم قول تعالى تلك حدود الله فالوصية للوارث بزيادة على حقه يدخل في هذا التعدي مع قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا وصية لوارث. This is dealing with the ruling of giving, of writing a portion of your property in the will to someone who already deserves part of the inheritance. And Islam abrogated that. Meaning now it happens in among the non-Muslims, they will have five children. And what will they do? If they hate four, they will give everything to one. They will give everything they own, everything to one child, and they will deliberately abandon the rest. Why? I don't like him. When I was in the hospital, he's the only one who visited me, right? And the rest of them forgot about me, I will forget about them. Islam now doesn't have that. There's a portion of the inheritance which Allah divided among the heirs. Allah did it himself. So within that, no one can say, I'm going to give my daughter this much, I'm going to give my son this much. No. What is beyond that division, what is extra, then that is your business to give to whatever. But the one which Allah Azza wa Jalla stipulated, no one can add and delete. So this abrogated the previous ruling where you can actually choose who gets what. The Prophet ﷺ further said to reconfirm this abrogation, لَا وَصِيَّةَ لِوَالِ. There should be no will, nothing, no share given to one who's already one of the inheritors. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ طَاعَةَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَعْصِيَتِهِمَا عُمُومًا. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned the general conception of obedience to Allah and His Messenger and their disobedience. لِيَدْخُلْ فِي الْعُمُومِ لُزُومِ حُدُودِهِ فِي الْفَرَائِضِ أَوْ تَرْكَ ذَلِكَ. So that will be included in that, abandoning the limitations of Allah in the fara'id, which is the inheritance, or otherwise. Now it's a general reminder from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he said, فَقَالْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Who can give us other ayat from the Quran where we hear this expression, obey Allah and His Messenger? Now, who can quote some ayat where we hear or we read something about obeying Allah and obeying the Messenger? These are ayat which we should memorize for da'wah. Got one? فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. سورة آل عمران. Good, but that's not what I'm looking for. This one, if you claim it, follow me. We want طاعه. وأطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. And obey Allah and obey His Messenger. What else? An ayah which is very, very important. An ayah which explains the ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. The ayah which explains that ayah in Surah Al-Nisa. That's why I was looking forward to Surah Al-Nisa, because it has many of these ayahs. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, and the Messenger, he will be in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon from among the prophets and the truthful ones and the martyrs and the scholars and the righteous people. And what an excellent companionship is the companionship of those. And we have many, many ayat. وَمَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whosoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. Oh, the Quran is full of obey Allah and His Messenger. إِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. He said, if you obey Him, the Prophet ﷺ, you will be guided. أَطِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Obey Him so you may receive mercy. Hey, we will get more of them in this surah bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Ala kulli hal, we continue. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ بِامْتِثَالِ أَمْرِهِمَا الَّذِي أَعْظَمَهُ طَاعَتُهُمَا فِي التَّوْحِيدِ ثُمَّ الْأَوَامِرَ عَلَى اخْتِلَافِ دَرَجَاتِهَا. How do you obey Allah's Messenger? By carrying out their commands. The commandments which they gave. The greatest of which is what? The greatest of which is what? Tawheed. Then, Salah. Because if Tawheed is corrupt, Salah is no good. Salah is no good. So ultimately, Salah is the most important of acts of worship. and don't call on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't call on Al-Badawi, and don't call on Zainab, and don't call on Jesus, and don't call on Shiva, don't call on these false gods. Worship Allah alone. That is Tawheed. And that is the most important thing. ثم الأوامر على اختلاف درجاتها. Then after you carry out this Tawheed, the various commandments depending on their degrees. Because they're not all at the same level. In terms of gravity, some are superior, some commandments are superior to others. على كل حال واجتناب نهيهما الذي أعظمه and avoiding what they prohibited, which is the most evil thing which Allah prohibited. What is it?
Shirk.
Shirk. Well, who can define shirk? Who can define shirk, all students of knowledge?
Including in our worship, in addition to Allah, somebody else.
Good. Good definition. To associate partners with Allah. That's another way of phrasing it. That's fine, whichever way you prefer. To associate others in worship with Allah. To associate others in worship with Allah. Now, this is very important. Not that you worship someone other than Allah only. No. If you worship Allah and someone along with Him, that's shirk. And Allah wouldn't accept it. Yani. And of course there's a minor shirk and the major shirk. The minor shirk is in showing off. Showing off. If you were doing salah, and you saw some people looking at you, and you beautified your salah for them. But in essence, why are you praying? For Allah. You weren't gonna, if you didn't want to pray to Allah, you weren't gonna put on an act and pray. You want to please Allah, but an additional intention came about. Well, let me at the same time make fulan think I'm Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. So let me elongate my salah and look like I am khashi' and put on a few acts. And once you do that, say goodbye to the reward of that salah. Allah will not accept it. Someone wants to recite the Quran in one of these Quran competitions and his intention is something else. People saying, Fulan is such, oh mashallah, this and that. No more ajr from Allah. Because the hadith Qudsi is clear. Allah said, Ana aghna shurakai an shirk. I am the most self-sufficient of having any partners. Whosoever thereof, or therefore, doesn't be seeking my pleasure and someone else's, I will abandon him and his deed. Taraktuhu wa shirka. I will abandon him and the deed. And the hadith says, whoever does it is seeking my pleasure and the pleasure of someone else. It's gone with the wind. This is why it is very important to always look into our intentions and be sure that the shaitan, if he's unable to make you disobey Allah, if he's unable to make you corrupt and wicked, if he's unable to lead you astray in the ultimate sense, and he sees that you're involved in good, he will try to ruin that good by ruining your intention. So you have to be very careful. And anytime you get these evil thoughts, you fight them. Once the shaitan tells you, yeah, do it, so people can say, shut up. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim, and just ignore him. You don't have to say, shut up. You know what I'm saying. It's just an interjection. Anything which, don't listen to him. In other words, next thing you know, they're going to say, Abu Mus'ab said the sunnah is to say, shut up when the shaitan whispers. I didn't say that, okay? On record, I'm retracting the statement. It means, don't pay attention to him. Those seek refuge with Allah and continue with your deed. And don't be a loser either. Say, okay, khalas. I don't think my intention is good. No more. No more da'wah. I'm going to give up da'wah. Wallah, brother, I don't think I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. Shaitan also defeated you. He also defeated you. Because now goodness is going to stop. No. You continue and you rub it in his face. You say, no, for the sake of Allah. Inshallah. And continue doing it. Allah, when He sees you put in all these efforts, is not going to let it go to waste. So no worries, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allah wa latifun bi'ibadi. Idhan, a'zamuhu ash-shirk. What did Luqman say to his son? Who remembers the ayah, people of da'wah? Luqman, Surah Luqman. Hey, but what is the ayah in Arabic? وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Continue. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ So Luqman advised his son. He told him while he was advising him, Oh my son, لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Do not associate partners with Allah. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ Verily, no doubt, shirk لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ is great oppression. is great oppression. ثم المعاصي على اختلاف طبقاتها. So then we avoid their prohibition, that which they forbade, with shirk on top of the list, and then the rest of their prohibitions. Meaning we don't only abandon shirk and then we indulge in everything which everything else which they said is haram. Anything which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is haram, it's like Allah telling you it's haram. And when Allah is blessing to tell us it's haram, we need to leave it alone, seeking Allah's aid to do so. تجري يدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها. Allah will admit him into gardens under which rivers flow, abiding therein. فمن أدى الأوامر واجتنب النواهي فَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ دُخُولِ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّجَاةِ مِنَ النَّارِ Whosoever then fulfills the commandments and avoids the prohibitions, it is inevitable for him to be admitted to paradise and protected from the hellfire. That's the promise of Allah. That's the promise of Allah. And does Allah betray the promise? Who can give us an ayah which proves that? نعم أحسنت صنعا. That one and the one in Al Imran. إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. This is the dua of the believer. إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. You never betray a promise. Allah will not promise something. And one وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا And who is more truthful than Allah? In speech. Once Allah promises something, He will not return, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and take it back. He will fulfill it. The promise is, you obey Allah and His Messenger. You avoid the prohibitions, He will admit you to paradise, protect you from the hellfire. If we don't, we'll promise something else. Unless Allah wills otherwise. طيب. وذلك الفوز العظيم and that is the greatest kind of success الذي حصل به النجاة من سخطه وعذابه والفوز بثوابه ورضوانه بالنعيم المقيم الذي لا يصفه الواصفون What is that فوز عظيم? What is that فوز عظيم? It is being saved from Allah's wrath, from Allah's torment, and attaining Allah's reward and His pleasure, and the eternal, everlasting delight, الَّذِي لَا يَصِفُهُ الْوَاصِفُونَ What word does that remind you of? يَصِفُهُ الْوَاصِفُونَ What other word do we learn in Tawheed that is derived from the same root word? You, in particular, should know the answer.
Sifa?
Yes! What do we say the Tawheed of the third category of Tawheed? Asma wa Sifat. Asma, name. Sifat, attributes. And in other words, in Arabic, grammar, Sifa is also an adjective. Or an adverb, because in English they're pretty much the same, except that one describes the verb, one modifies the verb, the adverb, like I'm speaking slowly. Am I describing me as a slow person or my speech? Speech. So speak. Speak is a verb, so slowly is an adverb. Adjective, I have a black phone. What kind of phone is it? Black phone is a noun. That's an adjective. In Arabic we call them sifa, ala kulli hal. Sifa. إذن الذي لا يصفه الواصفون, this eternal bliss in Jannah is لا, is to affirm or to negate?
Negate.
لا يصفه, that's the present tense. Meaning the describers cannot describe it. You understand it? This Jannah is so superb that even if you brought the most eloquent people to try to describe it for you, they will not be able to do so. Allah described it in the Quran. And even with that description, can we really, you know, visualize what Jannah is like? No. Because Allah told us in Hadith Qudsi that I have prepared for my righteous slaves what no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and has never come across a human's mind. So Allah told us that whatever you hear in Jannah, okay, so one of us, for example, right now, and I got this, by the way, I don't know whether it was a Muslim or a non-Muslim. It was a Muslim on an online class, and the person said, you know, get guarded. It's a big deal. We have gardens all over the place. What's so special about the garden? I was like, ouch! SubhanAllah, how are you going to say that? That's a very dangerous statement. Now, the fact when we hear Jannat, Jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar, gardens under which rivers flow. Don't be thinking about a 5-star hotel, you know, where they have to maintain these, you know, gardens and the fountains that they make and what have you, waterfalls, a fake, you know, artificial waterfall. This is all, you know, major hard work, little pleasure. And still, don't we love it? You love to see some natural, you know, if you go to a garden where you see, you know, lush gardens and trees and plants, you feel, what do you feel? You feel good. People are obsessed with that. Right, as Nu'man Khan said, even, you know, you put a plant on your balcony, you know, a tiny little plant. Why? Greenery. We love green. We love greenery. It's just human nature. Even the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna dunya hulwatun khadira." This dunya is beautiful and green because we love it. So Allah promised the believers that. But what is being promised in Jannah is nothing like what you see today. As Ibn Abbas said, the only common denominator, the only commonality between the things which Allah spoke about in Jannah and the things in the dunya is the name. Only. Yeah, we call this Jannah here. If you have a garden, you can call it Jannah. And the one over there is Jannah. But the only thing that is common between them is the word Jannah. The essence, the reality is something that we cannot even begin to imagine. Hey, so don't get it mixed up. Now this was ayah 13. Ayah 14, however, says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِلَىٰ أَخْرِهِ. Whosoever then disobeys Allah and His Messenger, etc. مُيَدْخُلْ فِي إِسْمِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ الْكُفْرِ فَمَا دُونَهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِيَةِ. What is included in the term ma'asiyah? Now pay attention, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ. Is this a past tense, present tense, or future tense?
Present.
It's in the present tense. Furthermore, it is a conditional phrase. If you come on time, I will give you a cake. Conditional clause. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. If or whosoever disobeys, the Sheikh said that term disobeys includes kufr and anything which is beneath that. Yani kufr being the highest form of disobedience by not being a Muslim or worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then anything which is lesser than that. All of them are included in the term وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَلَا يَكُونُ فِيهِ شُبْهَ لِلْخَوَارِجِ الْقَائِلِينَ بِكُفْرِ أَهْلِ الْمَعَاصِي. This is very important. The Khawarij, you all know the Khawarij? The Kharijites?
Yes.
Their main quality declare the believer who commits major sins to be a kafir. Yani, if news reached them that one Muslim drank alcohol, they declare him a kafir. If news reached them that a Muslim fornicated, they declare him a kafir. If he dealt with riba, they declare him a kafir. Any major sin. And what do they use as evidence? Some of the ayat in the Quran which are mutashabihat. What is mutashabihat? Ambiguous, not clear. What are the other kinds of ayat? هو الذي نزل عليك الكتاب. سورة العمران. Yes, continue the ayat. منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب. It is He who sent down upon you the book. Part of it, some of the book, آيات محكمات. آيات are firm, solid, tight, entirely clear. هن أم الكتاب. They are the mother of the book. وأخر متشابهات. And others which are not entirely clear. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْنٍ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. As for those who have deviance in their heart, they will follow the ayat which are not entirely clear, seeking fitna and false interpretation. So we find some of these silly Christians will tell you the Quran teaches Trinity. You say, what? The Quran teaches Trinity? Say, yes. It says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنُ الذِّكْرَ. Verily, we send down. Allah says about Himself, we. He says, we is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, wow. So this is a classical example of someone who tries to get something that is mutashabih. And they ignore قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. They ignore مَا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ مِنْ وَلَدْ وَمَا كَانَ مَعَهُ مِنْ إِلَهِ إِذَا لَذَهَبَ كُلُّ إِلَهٍ بِمَا خَلَقَ وَلَا عَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضُ. سبحان الله عما يصفون. Allah did not take any, beget any children, nor did He have any other gods with Him. Otherwise, every god would have taken His creation and they would have fought one with one another. لَعَلَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضُ. Every god is going to say, look man, this is my business, these are my creation, you mind yours. Okay, this son, don't play with it, because I created it. This is what Allah is telling us, it's impossible for there to be multiple gods, because every god must be the most powerful. How are you going to have two most powerful beings if there's the most powerful, meaning one must defeat the other? Once the other is defeated, is that a god? Khalas. Logically, it cannot happen. So we say, you cannot go pick an ayah which, you know, you ignore the concept of royal plurality which all languages have. All languages have. All languages have. Even in the recent declaration of Al-Malik Abdullah, Hafidhahullah, he said, نَحْنُ Al-Malik Abdullah. We Al-Malik Abdullah. And you're from British, from England, right? What does that lady say over there? We, Elizabeth Batik, whatever her name is. Same thing. In fact, in English, in the most basic application, do I say you is and I die? What do I say? Why? Why you are? Is it R for plural? He is, she is, it is, you are. Because of respect. Because when you speak about someone, that you not only you may respect them, you may disrespect them. But when you address someone, you must respect them, so you speak to them in the plural, even if they're one person. So this is something that no one can deny in any language. Most languages have this concept of royal plurality and numbers, the plurals of numbers. So ayatul muhkamat, some are firm, some are mutashabih. So the khawarij and their likes of the people of deviance, what do? They go to the ayat which have multiple interpretations like this one. And they will say, look, Allah said, whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, He will put him in Jahannam eternally. So according to them, the ayah means what? Anytime you disobey Allah and His Messenger, you go into what? Jahannam. So we say, this is a mutashabih. Who can give us the muhkam? Who can give us the muhkam for this refutation? What ayah which is firm that you use to refute the misinterpretation of this one? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah will not forgive that you do shirk, but He will forgive whatever is lesser than that to whosoever He wills. So Allah said already that anything below shirk, if you don't die, if you die instead of shirk, it's over. Even shirk, if you abandon it, or anything lesser than that, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive. It's up to Him. So how then do they put someone in Jahannam eternally when he's under the Mashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is one ayah, and there are many other ayat we use to refute their misinterpretation. The Shaykh said, now how do we refute it in the very ayah? The ayah says, whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger. That includes kufr, shirk, and anything lesser than that. It doesn't disclude or exclude shirk. If it excluded shirk, then their interpretation may be sound. But if it includes shirk, then yes, it's correct. If you disobey Allah and His Messenger by committing shirk, you will be facing Jahannam eternally. You get the reputation. So the Shaykh said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى رَتَّبَ دُخُولَ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ. Allah made admittance to paradise conditional to obedience to Him and obedience to His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَمَنْ أَطَاعُهُ طَاعَةً تَامَّةً دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ بِلَا عَذَابٍ. Then whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger ultimately, 100%, he will then enter paradise with absolutely no punishment, no torment. وَمَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مَعْصِيَةً تَامَّةً يَدْخُلُ فِيهَا الشِّرْكُ فَمَا دُونِهِ دَخَلَ النَّارُ وَخُلِّدَ فِيهَا. And whosoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, beginning with shirk and whatever is lesser than that, then He will permit him to, He will admit them to the hellfire, and He will make them abide eternally. Wait. Now this is for the one who disobeys Allah, commits shirk, and he ignores all of the deen. He will put him in Jahannam. Correct. As the ayah says, if you obey Allah's Messenger, the ultimate says, no torment for you, you go to Jannah. If you disobey Allah's Messenger, and the ultimate says, shirk and anything other than that, shirk and along with it anything lesser than that, then yes, you will go to Jahannam eternally. But now, وَمَنْ اِجْتَمَعَ فِيهِ مَعْصِيَا وَطَاعَ, which is us. Whosoever has brought a combination between obedience and disobedience, and if we do good, we do bad. كان فيه من موجب الثواب والعقاب بحسب ما فيه من الطاعة والمعصية. Then what will make you go to either destination is whichever one is what? Superior to the other. More ibadah, more ta'a, huh? You will go to Jannah. More ma'siya, you will go to Jahannam. Allah, unless Allah wills otherwise, He wills to forgive that slave. And of course, even if you go to Jahannam, if it's not shirk, you will not abide therein eternally. وقد دلت النصوص المتواترة على أن الموحدين الذين معهم طاعة التوحيد غير مخلدين في النار. The textual evidences, abundance of textual evidences allude to the fact that the muwahidun, the people of Tawheed, who have the obedience of Tawheed in their back, غير مخلدين في النار, they will not abide eternally in the hellfire. Anyone who dies with Tawheed, even if they committed all kinds of sins, he will not be like the kafir who will never go out of Jahannam. The believer will go out eventually after he pays back for his transgression. It's like a prison time. فما معهم من التوحيد مانع لهم من الخلود فيها. So then the tawheed which they have becomes it becomes means of preventing them from entering into the hellfire. Tawheed entering abiding eternally in the hellfire. So if you die with tawheed, you have guaranteed yourself that what? If you die with tawheed and salah, with the correct sound opinion, let's say you do tawheed and salah, but you drink alcohol, fornicate, rob people, do all kinds of things, I would have been not encouraging that in any way, shape or form, but let's say this is the case of someone and they die with tawheed, what do we say about them?
They will ultimately enter Jannah
one day. They are deserving of the hellfire, but and if they enter the hellfire, will they remain there forever?
No.
Why? Tawheed was there. The belief in Allah was there. The belief in Islam was there. That will save them one day. That will save them one day. That doesn't mean that we indulge in disobedience thinking, well, at least I'm a Muslim, because of two things. First, no one can guarantee that he will die as a Muslim. No guarantee. In fact, we learn from the Quran that the more we disobey Allah, the more Allah will lead us astray, and the end of being led astray is when you leave Islam altogether. And this has happened. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبًا. When their hearts deviate, when they deviated, Allah caused their hearts to deviate. And the ayat are many. So, وَمَنْ أَظَّمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُوهُ وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقَرًا وَإِنْ تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. And who is more oppressive than he who is reminded of the signs, the ayat of his Lord? فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا, he turned away from it. وَنَسِيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ, and he forgot what his hands had put forth of evil deeds. Then what did Allah say? إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّا. Verily we have placed veils and barriers and partitions over their hearts. أَنْ يَفْقَهُوا, so that they will understand anything. وَفِي أَذَانِهِمْ وَقْرَى, and in their ears there's deafness. Deaf. وَإِنْ تَدْعُهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَى فَلَنْ يَهْتَدُوا إِذًا أَبَدًا. Even if you were to call them to guidance, they will never be guided afterwards. The ulama say this is one of the most dangerous, threatening ayat of the Quran to the believer. And the advice in it is that we should not, and we should be careful of being reminded or knowing something and turning away from it, because we may never be given the chance to act upon it ever again. And we may be led astray. Wallahu musta'an. So we need to be very careful concerning that subject matter. Ala kulli hal, I think this is sufficient, inshallah, for today. Or what do you think? Redo ayah number 15. We do have ayah number 15, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَالَّذِي يَأْتِينَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ فَاسْتَشْهِدُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ شَهِدُوا فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ فِي الْبُيُوتِ حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّاهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ أَوْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُنَّ سَبِيلًا. Ayah 15, who has the English equivalence? Or the interpretation, I got it, never mind. And those of your women who commit illegal sexual intercourse, take the evidence of four witnesses from amongst you against them. And if they testify, confine them, meaning the women, into houses until death comes to them or Allah ordains for them some other way. Now we will see the ruling on this ayah later. Some of the ulama say this ayah has been abrogated, and some of them say this ayah has not been abrogated. Remember the nasakh and mansukh. أي النساء التي يأتين الفاحشة أي الزنا. So the woman who commits zina, wal'iyadu billah. فوصفها بالفاحشة لشناعتها وقبحها. الله describes zina as فاحشة يعني تستفحش أو مستفحشة because it's abhorrence. It's abhorrence. It's very, you know, a heinous crime. So this is why it's called فاحشة, zina. فاستشهدوا عليهن أربعة منكم أي من رجالكم المؤمنين العدول. So bring four witnesses amongst you men. عدول يعني people who are trustworthy, reliable, and they're not clowns who are going to come and make up something to put get someone in trouble. يعني reliable, religious men. إيه. فإن شاهدوا فامسكوهن في البيوت أي احبسوهن عن الخروج الموجب للريبة. If they bear witness, if they testify that the woman committed that particular act, then confine them to the homes, meaning the woman, to avoid any doubtful behavior. وَأَيْضًا فَأَنَّ الْحَبْسَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْعُقُوبَاتِ. Furthermore, this kind of confinement is a form of, this kind of imprisonment is a form of punishment for the women. حَتَّى يَتَوَفَّهُنَّ الْمَوْتُ, until death overtakes them. أَيْهَذَا مُنْتَى الْحَبْسِ, this is the end of their imprisonment. أو يجعل الله لهن سبيلا, or that Allah makes a way out for them. أي طريقا غير الحبس في البيوت, meaning a way other than being confined to the homes, which is what actually happened. The Sheikh said, فهذه الآية ليست منسوخة, this ayah is not abrogated, فإنها هي مغياتا إلى ذلك الوقت. It was suitable until a particular time. فكان الأمر في أول إسلام كذلك. This was the situation in the beginning of Islam, the early days of Islam. حتى جعل الله لهن سبيلا, until Allah actually made a way out for them, وهو رجم المحصن والجلد غير المحصن. يعني the ayah said, or Allah will make a way out for them, and Allah did make a way out for them. What is that way? The one who's muhsan, meaning the married, or the one who's previously married, someone who's once enjoyed an intimate relationship with a woman lawfully, huh? They are stoned to death. Whereas the one who's never been married, they are lashed. How many? 100 lashes. And what else? They're expelled from the land for 1 year. They're exiled, out. They leave the area, that community, for a whole year. This is the ruling. Now this is a way out for them, even though many people don't think so. Which is better? To be imprisoned in home or life, or just to get your punishment and move on with life? Even if the one gets killed, we know that the killing, that's going to death, is mercy to the criminal, because with that punishment being carried out, his guilt is taken away, as opposed to being responsible for it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So when the penal code is carried out against the violators, it's actually mercy to them, because now they're removing the burden of that sin off their shoulders, as opposed to being responsible for it on the day of recompense. And this is mercy from Allah. So everything in the deen of Allah is mercy from Allah. We human beings just talk too much. We criticize too much, even though we have no right to criticize. You know, specifically the non-Muslims, they're always trying to pick on these, you know, teachings. Even though you find them in the Bible, in the Old Testament, according to the Old Testament, if you curse your parents, if you use foul languages, the parents, you should be put to death. Read the Deuteronomy and read the Genesis. It's all over the Bible. If you just speak ill to your parents, you should be put to death. If they find you working on Saturday, you will be put to death. So what do they complain about? And then the atheists, the agnostics, and the rest of them, those who are not Christian and don't follow the Christian belief, they complain until today, treason or violating or spying against your country, what is the code? What is the punishment? They will kill you. Because to them this is a great, you know, great crime. In Islam, so is fornication. So is killing someone. You see what I'm saying? So, yani, don't let the kuffar play games with you and make you feel that there's anything wrong with our deen, there's something wrong with their brain. There's nothing wrong with our deen. And with this, inshallah, we will conclude the desk. Bi-ithnillah, if you all remain alive and healthy, we will continue in ayat number 16 and what follows. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.